Welcome everyone to How Winners Win. I am Daniel Blue. As always, I am joined by my co-host Keita Spears, aka High Key.
What up, winners?
Winners, Keita. What's new with you, man?
Shit, hanging by the pool every chance I get. Literally,
I see you, and you just get darker every time.
Every time, man. Every time.
Yeah, this guy's at winners. This guy's at the pool like every single weekend.
Yeah, no, 100%. As soon as so in Vegas, it got warm. Was it Easter? Easter Sunday was the first day at the pool, and I've been at the pool every weekend since, 4 weeks straight.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about mental health, some anxiety, kind of be able to attack some myths that our parents have taught us. But how are you stressed out at the pool, man? Like, you have no anxiety out there.
No, not at the pool. No, that's the, also I got to get that vitamin D, dog. Yeah, you know, I got to get the sun to stay happy.
Yeah, that is very true. Well, winners, again, we appreciate your guys' time. You guys could be listening to a lot of different shows right now, but instead you're tuned into us. And again, Keita and I, we do not take that for granted. So we want to be able to get back to you guys with some really awesome guests. And the premise of today's show is we've got a really amazing guest. I would say unique, and I'm not just bullshitting you guys because I know unique is just like, yeah, it's special, it's unique, you've never heard it. But over 100 episodes, I don't think we've had a guest, number one, be as handsome as he is. And I'm married, so I feel confident in my sexuality, but man, he could be a movie actor. But he is a performance coach, sport coach, business coach. I would literally be just saying like, bro, you were in the Navy SEALs out in Finland. So he can probably correct me like his specific military branch, but he was a badass out in Finland in the military. And, he's not a spring chicken, but he looks like one. And, he's filling out a size, I'd say like an extra large, Keita, large. Like I might need like a small shirt. I might be able to bust through the seams like that. But, we've got an amazing guest with you guys here today. He's going to be talking to you guys about some nitty gritty health, some optimization, some stress, some anxiety, some really cool shit for you guys. And he walks the walk. So Sammy Esklin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it for having me.
And what's it like living in Finland?
It depends what time of year you're asking. So
winter, December 30th.
Winter, it's miserable to a point that people are just depressed. Sun doesn't get up until about 9 a.m. in the morning. And it's going down somewhere around 2 p.m. So you work 8 to 4, which is kind of like 9 to 5 over here. So if you work that time, you really don't see sun. So people get depressed. They start drinking. And unfortunately, there's suicides going up. But then again, when summer comes, the sun barely goes down.
So, well, I was going to ask that, so I'm glad you went that direction. So summer, when does the sun rise and when does it set?
Right about the same time.
He said it's just above us the whole time.
Before I went to military, I think I was a bouncer first time when I was 17 years old. So I wasn't even legally allowed to be in a restaurant when I was as a bouncer. So when we left from the nightclub, 4 a.m., it was already dark. So I want to say the sun goes down probably around 1 a.m. and it starts getting up around 2 a.m. So about an hour and a half, there is darkness.
What?
Dude, and if you go north, you can't really tell, is it 2 a.m. or 2 p.m.? And that was one of the tricks that whenever we're some of the advanced shooting practices up in Lapland, and I was a recon, so it's kind of like between Ranger and Special Forces. So we were just dropped in the middle of nowhere and just ended a mission, but the training was that sleep whenever you get a chance, sleep and eat whenever you get a chance, because you never know when's your next chance. So a lot of times when I woke up and I was like scrubbing my eyes, it's like it's one, like, is it 1 a.m. or 1 p.m.? So I had to ask, like, hey, is it 1 a.m. or 1 p.m.? Like, I really don't know.
Yes. So legit.
That was a little freakish.
See, could you imagine that in Vegas?
No.
No, I think it would literally be illegal if the sun never went down out here.
Man, no wonder why you got into mental health and anxiety. Like, that shit just stresses me out just thinking about that. Like, picture it, guys. You have the sun up all day, all night, and the sun goes down at 1 a.m. and it rises at 2 or 3 a.m. No. And then on the other side, the sun rises at 9 a.m. and sets at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I think the latter is what would really trip me up. You know, the winter months and not being able to see light. Like I was just saying, like I go to the pool so I can stay happy, get the vitamin D, get as much sun as possible, and it literally charges my body. I literally feel like I'm get like, you know, just plugged in my iPhone. So to go without that, working at 8 to 4, literally wake up when the sun's down, and then go back home when the sun's down.
Yeah, it was great. It's crazy because like God has given us like ability to produce one vitamin ourselves, and that's vitamin D. So since we didn't get that, this is back in the 90s when I was like, they started coming out high tech, this artificial light lamps that we put in, like ultra bright light lamps that we put in a breakfast table. So we can just kind of get the circadian rhythm. Yeah. Because the circadian rhythm and everything is based on your light exposure. Mm-hmm. So same thing when you don't want to have bright lights before you go to bed so you can actually sleep better. Same thing if you want to wake your body up, you have to have bright light in the morning. And since we didn't have that, we have to artificially produce that light.
Yeah. So I want to get into your story a little bit and to kind of set the stage. You know, you've closed, you know, $10 million in revenue in the last 4 years. You've helped hundreds of people around the world create, you know, multiple six figures, you know, working from home. So you've been changing lives for a long time. But where did this start from? Like, how old were you when you left Finland, you came to the United States? Did you always have the entrepreneur bug in you? Kind of talk to us a little bit about your back in the day.
Yeah. Excuse me. No, not really. I was an athlete ever since I was maybe a 6-7 years old. So I started with soccer. In Finland, you kind of divide between hockey or soccer. I hated winter, so I ended up going with soccer. So I was an athlete, then I adopted martial arts and 10, 11 years old. And I thought I'm going to be a pro athlete for a long time. So by age of 17, I thought I'm still going to be a pro soccer player, and I wanted to go on the Finnish national team, and then just failed just before the tryouts. And then the next step in young adulthood in Finland is mandatory military service. So kind of like Israel and a few other countries. So it's mandatory, minimum 1 year. So you can kind of cruise your way through it and get it super easy. But I thought, you know what, listen, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it all the way. And there's basically three special operations units. It's the forged recons, which I went. Then there's combat divers, which is basically Navy SEALs. And then there's special paratroopers. And special paratroopers and forged recon are kind of the same. So I went that, and I fell in love with it. I love challenge myself. I got in, became an officer, and stayed there in the reserves for good 11 years. During the reserve times, I ended up getting hired to a big security company. Fairly crown level first, but the last 7 years or 6 years of that company, I ended up running basically a rapid deployment unit, where we respond to all the high threat, store robberies, bank robberies, and stuff like that. So we basically run in, and we have a little higher trained guys. So I ran that unit for a while, and got a couple of degrees in the process, got a master's in security management, and I was handling that unit for a long time. And I thought that's going to be my career. But I realized that I was putting 12, 14-hour days, and I was kind of wheeling and dealing. And I asked my boss, like, listen, I'm one of the youngest operations manager, not just in the country, but in Europe. So I've been growing this unit for a long time, so can we please kind of adjust my pay also? And that happened for a few months, and eventually he ended up offering me $40 a month. Pay increase. And at that point, I realized that I'm not meant for corporate life. So I was supposed to start my own security training company. I end up kind of partnering up with one of my good friends at the time. And 2 weeks before the company launched, he actually ended up pulling out of it. He ended up getting a good corporate job. So I was in the process of separated from my girlfriend back then. I quit my day job, and I didn't know where I'm, what route I'm going to take. So I end up calling one of my mentors in the tactical training community, a guy called Jim Wagner. He's kind of like one of the godfathers of realistic-based self-defense. So he lives in Irvine, California. So I thought, listen, I'm going to move to U.S. I don't know for how long. I don't know if I'm going to stay. And I just kind of made my peace with finances and my friends and all the relationship. And I said, we'll see what happens. And this was 13 years ago. So 13 years I've been now here in the U.S.
Man, Keith, I don't know about you, but like what you just said, Sammy, really resonated with me. And I kind of had like an epiphany. I think our country would be way better off if we made every single person go into the military for 1 year, right? Like teach these motherfuckers some gratitude, some discipline, some responsibility. I've never even been in the military, so I might be saying something like I'm talking out of my ass and you put me in boot camp and be like crying like a little bitch. But I really think that would serve our country well if we made every single person make at least 1 year commitment.
I'm sure it'd probably reduce the amount of privilege that we're seeing in the youth today. Like I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with relatives that are younger and they just feel so entitled. They just like, it's my country to change it. I'm right. Whatever you thought that you knew, Mr. Older Person, already know about it and I have my opinions on it. So I think if we got a little bit less entitled, I think a little slap in the chin or, you know, actually some challenging work. Because another thing I've noticed with kids nowadays is like, they're just not challenged, like really at anything, whether it be school with the No Child Left Behind, you could just fail and get 50%. Before it used to get, you failed, you got a zero. Now you just get 50%. You can half ass and get a C basically.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that scares me more than anything. And I think going and serving and actually doing something where more times than not, you're not going to want to do it, but you still got to get done.
Yeah. And there was still back then, like Finnish people are pretty independent. I had a job since I was 13 years old. I've been paying rent to my parents since I was 14. It was normal to me. It was like if my mom's like, okay, you get your clothes washed and you get fridge filled pretty much daily basis. So it's fair that you probably pay for it a little bit now when you make some money on a holiday doing vacations and weekends. So that was perfectly normal to me. So I already grew up a little bit with that responsibility. But there are still some kids over there, 18 to 20 years old, that usually go in and doing your service, that it completely crumbled. They've never been away from home, never been away from parents. And and you're absolutely right. It's even though if you cry like a little bitch over there, but at least you know that there's something way worse available that you're doing right now. So it gives you some perspective. And that's what I've always kind of say to my kids. And like, listen, you have to experience something, because how can you ever appreciate what you have right now unless you just kind of experience the sucky part too in life? And maybe if you end up falling in love with the sucky part, then you're really going to be in the right path, because you're not going to be successful unless you're willing to go through some sucky parts in life.
100.
Yeah. So with you having some experience coaching athletes and then helping, you know, really generating a lot of money in the marketplace with health and wellness, there was something that you said to me, and I don't think anyone has explained it the way that you did. And I wanted you to expand more on it and share what you told me to the audience. But you said, you know, one of the things that we've heard, and I have heard it so many times, stress kills, right? And you're like, dude, you're not going to eliminate stress, right? Like that's just a pipe dream. Like that's it's a fairy tale. Like, yes, stress is bad, but what are you going to do? I can disown your kids. You're going to, you know, quit your marriage, get divorced, sell your business, move to, you know, an island. Like, what do you know about it? So yeah. Kind of talk to the audience about your philosophy there.
Yeah. So exactly right. Everybody says stress kills, and it's absolutely right. It's lowering our immune system. It's a catabolic state. It's increasing your cortisol level. So there's a bunch of chemical processes that's in your body. And you're in a silent, like fight or flight. It's not good state to be at. So, but then again, how can you avoid it? Like, we're constantly connected. I think one of the studies said that you were about 1980s or 1990s, humans, and especially kids, were taking about 40 bits a minute information, or 40 bits a second information. Now that number is 4 million bits. So it's 10,000 times more we're taking all kind of information. It's just like, because we're constantly connected. Connected to devices and everything else. And usually we connect it with our work. It's not like you're leaving work, you go home and hang your hat, and then it's a happy life. No. You leave work and you go to the screaming kids and everything else. They're there. You can't avoid it. But what we've been doing very successfully is conditioning the human body to adapt with the stress. And that's what a lot of people don't know how to do. And that's why there's so many different entrepreneurs that has military background that are used to be pro athletes, because they conditioned themselves into the physical, or through the physical stress, so they can now withstand their emotional and mental stress a lot better. So they can operate in that state of stress without completely throwing them out of the box. As the normal person who's not connected with sports, rather than in the form, like through TV, watching some sports, eating some crappy food, drinking, and just abusing a body, and then you have the same amount of stress thrown into you, and what's the coping mechanism? Well, you start drinking, you start doing drugs, you start doing all bad habits. You go in a very self-destructive mode. And that's what I've seen happening. So, but then again, then when people say that this clinically diagnosed stress, like I think, and this is not just me, like I think that's the way it is, because there's a lot of studies that I think there's so many times like we jump into this clinically diagnosed stress. We don't even want to think about why are we feeling stressed, when it's because our own lifestyle. It's because our lack of knowledge of how to help our body cope with stress. And then you get put on some antidepressants that are just synthetic serotonin and dopamine, which overrides your own serotonin and dopamine production. And once you stop taking them, then really bad things happening, which I don't think that like pharmacology is needed, but it should not be the first stop on every single illness that's been going on in human body. Like, and we can actually fairly simple way start affecting internally how our body is responding to external stress.
So there's a rhyme and reason to the fact that how you feel on the inside also permeates to how you look on the outside too.
100%.
And your mental clarity.
Yeah. So you have your four most common neurotransmitters, your serotonin, your dopamine, GABA, and acetylcholine. And those are basically dictating a lot of your moods. Now, your feel-good hormones are serotonin and dopamine. Now, that's when the production is kind of messed up, we feel lack of motivation, we feel anxiety, we get aggravated super easily, and then when your GABA is not firing up, then your body is not, in the nighttime, able to move into a state where you can actually relax and go to bed. So there are these neurotransmitters that are dictating our behavior. And the common belief is it's an imbalance in your brain. It's this weird mystical sickness that's just taking over our body. When in reality, serotonin and dopamine is mostly created in your gut biome. God is our second brain. And I'm sure a lot of people has heard that, but because the most amount of the happy neurotransmitters is created in your gut. So then we get a lot of digestive issues, and when our gut is not functioning properly, then our body is not producing these feel-good hormones. When we feel bad, we're going to start making bad decisions. So it's a self-sabotaging cycle.
So you always hear about, like, winners probably always hear about gut health. You know, that's like a big buzzword as of lately. So kind of demystify what is gut health, and like, how do we actually have a healthy gut?
So indigestion is just one thing. There is something called leaky gut syndromes and stuff like that. So let's start with the leaky gut syndrome. Leaky gut syndrome is when you're eating inflammatory food, it's going to cause swelling in your gut lining. Your gut lining is kind of like this webbing when it's healthy. And when that swelling happens from inside, you create gaps on that webbing. And when you eat food, whether it's a good or bad food, the food's undigested food gets to your gut lining, and now your body treats it as foreign substance in your body. Start creating antibodies to attack it. And now you just created intolerances towards that food because your body recognizes foreign substance. So every time now when you eat that food, whether it's avocado, if it gets undigested through your gut lining, every time your body creates an allergic reaction pretty much. So we can actually start removing inflammatory foods and start helping that gut healing by adding different supplements like glutamine and even type 3 collagen. You can start kind of bring that webbing back in. So now your body actually processes that food in a normal way. Same thing. We're talking about probiotics. Like people are like, oh, I take probiotics. Well, you usually take like a shotgun probiotic. And what I mean by that is you go to probiotic that's 5 billion probiotics. But basically, you give a shotgun shot full of like all kind of random probiotics. But when you eating bad food, let's just say that you eat Cheetos.
Hot Cheetos, that was the thing I was going to bring up.
Hey, Cheetos feeding specific bacteria in your gut.
They put crack in Cheetos, dude.
specifically the hot Cheeto limon.
Limon, dude, I can't just have one handful of those things.
Nah. Well, you know, cheese is actually, it's more addicting than morphine. It's a substance called glutamorphine. What? It's in cheese when it's cheese is being made, there's a bacteria called glutamorphine, which is a basically addicting substance. That's why a lot of people are like, oh, I love cheese.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it has to be. But then they also have MSG and everything else.
So basically crack.
Yeah,
crack.
Exactly. So what happens when you're eating that crappy food, in this case, that crack hot Cheetos, is you feeding that specific bacteria. And the bacteria, when it's dying, it's going to signal your brain's like, hey, you need to feed this. So you craving more hot Cheetos. So you can actually starve those bad cravings to start by switching it and eating something good. Once you get your good gut biome working function, like properly and optimally, your body actually craves that good food because it feeds that good bacteria in your body.
So the times that anyone who's ever actually stuck to their diet and they start like, oh, wow, I'm like craving a salad. You know, oh, man, some fruit sounds really nice right now. Yeah. It's because their body is actually telling them, and this is kind of like intuition, trust your gut. Your gut's telling you what to eat if you actually feed it the right things. When you're filling it full of shit, it's going to keep saying, hey, feed me more full of shit.
Yeah, and the gut feeling is specifically, it's that gut's communicating to your brains like to make specific things. Because when we were just like a single cell organism, like when we were in your mom's bellies, the gut and the brain were exactly the same thing. And as with the fetus starts growing, it's going to start separating. But they are connected through something called vagus nerve. It's the second biggest nerve, neurotransmitter tract after your spinal cord. So everything, your gut communicates with your emotions through vagus nerve. So these two things are communicating. That's why when you're stressed all the time, you're going to start feeling gut rumbling. Like, oh man, because your digestive tract is starting to shut down. Because you get stressed out, you get kind of panicked. You're like, oh, I don't know what's going out there. It's kind of like your digestion is actually stopping that moment.
So what are some tips that you can give to the winners to manage their stress? And before you answer that question, I want to tell a quick story because this is really relevant to stress. I'm going to give you guys a real life example. So my grandpa is 95 and my grandma is 93. Been married for 60 years. And my grandpa just chills. Like he eats pretty much hot Cheetos. He eats potato chips all the time. Every time I see him, he always tells me about potatoes are rich in vitamin C and I need to eat more potatoes. and he reads the newspaper every day, does crossword puzzles. He's not on any medication. He just barely started using a walker. Like my mom had to like sell him on using a walker. He walks himself. Now he's got the walker. He's got a little cane now. But I mean, like he barely stopped driving like 2 years ago. Like really, really good health. Now he's losing some of his hearing, but he's coherent. Like I can have legit conversations with him. My grandma is 93. She did yoga forever, working out. She would juice. She would just eat so healthy, right? Like just ultra healthy compared to my grandpa. And her health started deteriorating over the last like 5 years. Like she's had to go to the hospital recently. She's had some like blockages in her heart. Like she's just not in a good place health wise. And like she gets mad at my grandpa. She's like, dude, motherfucker, like I eat way better than you and I do way better than you health wise. Like, why am I not doing well health wise? But you are, right? So my theory is like, dude, she's a worrier. She always stresses out. She's always anxious. I have no other conclusion other than the fact that stress has to play somewhat into something like that. So, you know, with that being said, like one, does that really surprise you when I tell you this? And two, you know, what are some things that people can do to help minimize stress to prevent them, or I guess to make sure that in their later years in life, they can have a good quality of life where stress isn't coming back to bite them in the ass.
Yeah, that's, I love those stories because there's always these outliers that are just kind of like smoking pack of cigarettes a day and drinking bottle of Jack a day. And they lived to 95 years old. You look at some Keith Richards and stuff like that. Like those guys are abused their body, but they're still alive, not just alive, but kicking.
Yeah.
So there's always those, but generally speaking, one of the best quote I've heard of aging is aging is the excess pursuit of comfort. So we start making these, we start kind of getting more and more comfortable. We start cutting corners. Like we stop going on walks. We have remotes. We order food. We start making these choices based on convenience and comfort. And eventually that's telling your body that there's no stress. You don't have to adapt to stress anymore. So we naturally stop conditioning our body to be more resilient. Now, there's still people that are wired that they operate through stress. These sometimes called stress achievers. Like there's people that can't get anything done unless they put themselves in an enormous amount of stress with like insane deadlines, and they function through that. But it's still a very destructive place to be at. So when I started looking at where am I, like how can I maximize my health in a way that that serves me in the long run? Because I don't want to live a long life. I want to live a long, very active life. Like I want to be 100 year old and do some sports over there and
play some pickleball.
Yeah, exactly. But so I make my point of working out every day. Every day I need to do something, whether it's a gym, whether I'm going and running, doing some martial arts, doing grappling and jiu-jitsu, doing some kickboxing. But I make sure that I get sleep minimum 6.5-7 hours a day. Like I can operate with the less amount of sleep, but I know it's not good for me, so I try to get that 7 hours. This might sound a little woo-woo, but I'm doing breathing exercises. I need to get
Wim Hof.
You can do Wim Hof. You can do a skull shining breath, which is basically you breathe through your nose, out through your mouth, very, very rapidly. And what's going to happen chemically is actually increases your nitric oxide levels. Nitric oxide is a vasodilator that makes sure that your body gets oxygenated. Because hypoxia, which is the lack of oxygen, is one of the killers too. That's why we're feeling tired all the time throughout the day. Even though we drink a couple of monsters, we're still tired because we don't get oxygen in our you know, every part of our party. So, and I try to go outside. I need light. I need to move my body. I need sunlight. I need oxygen. And I make your choices. And by far the biggest one is finding the passion and purpose in doing stuff that you love to do. Now, I'm not talking in a way like only do what you love to do. That's bullshit. Because you can't always do what you want to do. Like that's just like fairy tale. But in the long term, I want to work a business that excites me. Along the way of that building that exciting business, I'm willing to tolerate some bullshit. I'm willing to tolerate some hardship. I need to go through some turmoil. But because I'm excited in the long term, it keeps me pushing through and without like just crumbling down and just being weighed down by the stress and the weight of it.
So with the transition, kind of walk us through that. You came to the United States of America and, you know, making that transition to where now you've got, you know, this really cool business helping people with something you're passionate about. And I can just see your face light up. Your voice changes when you start talking about these things because, you know, you live it, you breathe it. You obviously, you know, work it every single day and you're passing it on to other people. So when did that kind of start coming into fruition?
So I've been coaching people now for, I was an instructor in military, but after military, I got my degrees in exercise science and nutrition 18 years ago. So I've been professionally coaching people now about 16 years.
How old are you?
43.
And so the winners that aren't on video and you can't see us on video, like, dude, Sammy could look like he's like 27.
That's literally about to say, looks like he's 28.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So it's like, I think that's really cool. And I always respect people that come from a place of experience, right? Like there's nothing worse than getting health advice from somebody that, you know, looks like shit, doesn't practice what they preach.
Yep.
And I think that's just like the number one rule when you're trying to, you know, get information from other people is how experienced are they walking the walk. But what I like about you is you're all the way around it, right? You're not just like, dude, I mean, obviously you're jacked, you're really big, but you're not like, let me just, you know, squat 500 pounds and deadlift 500 pounds. You're like, dude, I want to have a good quality of life. I want to have a good gut health. Talk to us about the family too, because I know you're balancing a lot. I know you were just telling us before we hit record, plan on moving to Spain with your family. How long have you been married? How many kids you have?
So I've been with my wife now for 9.5 years, closing almost 10 years. And we've been married for 7 years almost. So she's a fitness pro as well. And she was one of the top fitness pros. She was third in the world in fitness. And during that fitness, like competition preps, people think that that's the epitome of health of the people that stands on the stage. But a lot of the times, it's the most amount of abuse you take.
When
you
stress.
Stress, you dehydrate yourself.
Shitty gut health.
You're malnourished. And you're barely like, a lot of times these competitors, they pass out on the stage because they can't even hold the pose anymore.
Yep.
So my wife ended up developing a lot of digestive issues. Actually 4 days before competition, we had to take her to ER because her digestive, like it was so inflamed. She looked like she was like 5th month pregnant.
Damn.
And the indigestion was so bad. She had to go on a liquid diet 4 or 5 days before you step on a world's stage.
When you're supposed to be dehydrated.
Yes.
Shredded.
Coming out of it, she developed a lot of intolerances. She couldn't eat eggs in at least for a year or two. Okay. She couldn't eat a lot of the food that she ended up eating. She actually had intolerances. And that's what happened to a lot of people, actually. So we've been working with a lot of competitors in the past and kind of reverse dieting them, like helping their body to come back to alive again, because women's get hormonal. Like a lot of times women's, they lose their menstrual cycles. They don't get periods for months or years. after they do a competition because they bring their body fat so low. Men get hormonal issues. And there's a lot of different processes that's going on in your body that's not so positive. So she went to a holistic nutrition school and she graduated there and we worked together for good 6-7 years. But man, like training and coaching, as much as we love it, it can't be very unrewarding. Because whatever you do, as long as whenever it's starting to sound just like a job. So we have huge passion. We're great at it. A lot of clients were paying us a lot of money. But when you see most of the people just kind of falling off from it and they're just not even following you, you lay down the yellow brick road for them for better health and they're just, nah, I'm good. So that's the part that's unrewarding. And at the same time, it's a very competitive industry. So we're in a point where it was in a feast or famine. So a lot of months we're making so much money, like we're traveling and making some investments and everything else. And there were a lot of months that we couldn't even pay our rent. So, and that's when I started kind of getting familiar with what's the stress, like what it causes and how it's affecting on your mood and how it's affecting on the dynamics within your family. Like we have two kids, 15 and 19 years old. I call them my kids because I've been in their lives most of their lives. And so kind of balancing and still trying to try to be present, but still chasing your own dreams and showing your kids that, hey, it's okay to work hard when you love what you do. So there's a lot of dynamics that went down on that. And eventually we just kind of end up pivoting in our business and say, hey, listen, we're not going to necessarily coach people, excluding a couple of very high level business entrepreneurs and business icons that we still end up working with. But we started working on the bigger picture. We found partnerships that allows us to leverage our time in a way that we can give our information for free and teach other people to teach what we do. Mm. So
I wanted to touch on what you briefly talked about, which was hormones. Mm. And how literally the hormones, if we don't get them under control or in a better state, will literally affect how much output we put into the world, whether we're motivated to go out and pursue that business venture or make love to your wife or even be a better father. Like, can you talk about the hormone imbalances and like how common it is and how fact that most of us are probably aren't even looking in that area?
Yeah. So hormones are kind of like, I talked about earlier about neurotransmitters. Neurotransmitters are very fast paced. Like you can, through those neurotransmitters, you can change on your mood. When your hormones are out of whack, it's a longer term process. And what's affecting a lot of times in your hormones is stress. And we have certain amount of building blocks in our body to build hormones. Now, cortisol, adrenaline is a hormone. That means that when we get stressed out, adrenaline goes up. Adrenaline counter hormone is cortisol. And when cortisol is getting built up, cortisol's job is to preserve some of the energy that adrenaline is making available. So it's kind of like dual process. But cortisol is made out of the same building blocks that progesterone, testosterone, and all the other vital hormones. So when we're stressed out, that means that our hormones are also balanced, out of whack. So when our hormones are out of whack, we might be producing normal amount of, like as a man, we might be producing normal amount of testosterone, but if we're constantly stressing ourselves physically or mentally, then we have nothing left in a tank to leave for our wife, for our girlfriends. And this goes both ways. So unless you learn how to balance those hormones in a way, you learn how to listen to your body. So another thing is, through nutrition, you can affect on blood sugar balance. If I can give one advice about what's the general nutrition advice, that's basically like a blanket statement, that no matter if you're vegan, vegetarian, carnivore, flexitarian, you name it, is balancing your blood sugar levels. Not eating just carbohydrates, but always balancing your blood sugar levels. That you can eat carbs, but you have to pair it with some good fats and good protein, so it slows down the absorption of those carbs. So now you can have this balanced energy. But if you put yourself in a roller coaster where you eat a bag of chips and you feel all happy and great, and then you come down from that carb load, and then you just feel like, oh, I feel like crap. I need a little picker-up. I need some sugary drinks or something like that. So that's when you're going to start messing up hormones. So
it's like a slippery slope too, because you're like craving more of what you don't need again, kind of like.
Absolutely. And there's also a psychological factor on it, because we've all had some cookies and pastries and stuff like that when our grandparents. So think about this, like you eat a cookie, it's like, oh, this reminds me of my grandparent when I was a kid. So we have these associations to food, these happy memories. So when we feel like crap emotionally, when we had a shitty day, we fought with our wife, we yell at our kids, we feel crap. Now what we want to do? We want to bring up that happiness. So how we do that? We go to that food that we associate with happiness. And now we think that it's going to make us happy. That's where the emotional eating comes from. And this emotional eating, once again, spuns all your hormones. And it's this vicious cycle eventually until you develop an awareness. And in like in everywhere, in every change happens, the first step, you need to be aware. You realize like, holy shit, I'm eating like crap. I'm feeling like crap. And yes, I have actually ability to change this. But unfortunately, we often choose the way to think of, this is just the way my life is. I'm just a victim of my circumstances. Life happens to me. I have no control over it. And we just let go of the steering wheel and just let it go and start eating these, like, we're going to start feeding this bad decisions to our over and over and over again. Unless someone who cares you a lot or has enough information comes and slaps you around a little bit and say, hey, listen, dude, you have ability to change all this. It's about like, do you want to accept the help? So, and then you develop awareness and then you're going to start making those changes.
So someone listening to this right now, one of the winners that maybe they just have a shitty sex drive, they're not sleeping the best. They just throughout the day, you know, you said something that I can resonate with. There's been times where it's 2 o'clock. I'm like, dude, I need a pick me upper. Mm-hmm. Right. They just don't feel like they're humming. Right. Where's a good place for someone to start in terms of, I know there's something wrong with my body, but like, what's my next step?
Get a hormone panel. You can go in any LabCorp or any of this third-party labs. You can get, if you have a doctor, they can write down of your hormone panel and go to hormone clinics. You don't have to necessarily get their services, but at least a doctor to sign you up and get a full hormone panel. $100, $150, not even that if you have insurance. Another thing is get a food sensitivity test. You can get that. There's a couple of different companies, but you can even order from Amazon. It's a home kit where you prick your finger and you drop a couple of drops of blood. You send it to the lab a couple of weeks ago. You can go check your food sensitivities online. And it literally gives you the sensitivities, severe, moderate, or mild. And through that, you might pick up like, hey, man, I'm sensitive to eggs, and that's what's been causing my indigestion all the time. And I thought those were healthy, and I've been just pounding them down every single day.
Dude, I hope I'm not sensitive to eggs. I have 6 a day, bro.
And that's good. I eat sometimes 10 a day. But I'm also doing those tests. And it's not, if you don't have an actual allergy to it, you can wean off from that if it's an egg allergy, you can get off from it, and a couple of months you can start reintroducing them back in again. Okay. But you have to let that gut lining heal in the process. And then you can start kind of introducing them back in again. So hormone panel through blood work and food sensitivity test.
So basically collect information.
The data. Like our we have access to so much information of our body right now. These are 10 years ago, get a hormone panel or something like that with like cost your arm and a leg and it needs like at least 3-4 physicians to sign off from something like that. Or food sensitivity test. You had to go and get a fecal sample and drop that in the lab and they start looking at the bacteria and stuff like that. Now you can walk in literally in Walgreens or go on Amazon and order this food sensitivity test. And it tested 250 to or 150 the most common food items and you can through that kind of gain knowledge.
So is this true or false? So Keita, I was getting a haircut. I've moved up in life. I no longer go to Great Clips. No, I go to an actual barber.
Bro, this is groundbreaking news. I had no idea.
So he's a really cool guy. He's from Dubai. He's in his 40s. He's got a bush of hair. He's got a lot of hair. And he's kind of trying to sell me this product that it's a natural, you know, helps with your hair. He's like, dude, you have a lot of hair. He's like, you got a little bit of bald spot back there, but like not a big deal. He's like, if you want, I can sell you this hair product and it will help you, you know, get your hair fuller, thicker. He's like, you don't really need it though. He's like, one bad thing about this is as soon as you stop using it, you know, you're going to lose the hair that you gain from the product. Like, he's always shot me straight over the years. So I appreciated that. And then he started telling me a story. He's like, yeah, one of my customers was like, yo, Brad, is this hair product that you're selling me fake? Because I see on Amazon that it's selling for $60 and you're selling it for $38. Like, are you selling me like something that's not phony? And he's like, no, dude. He's like, what I told my customer, he's like, I'd rather sell it to you at price point because now your hair grows and I have a customer for life. Then you got to keep coming back to me and I cut your hair. So we both started laughing about it. He's like, do you eat a lot of beans? He's like, I'm not trying to be racist. Like, I know you're Mexican, but like, do you eat a lot of beans? I was like, Brad, do bear shit in the woods? Like, yeah, I do, bro. He's like, I could tell. He's like, you ever wonder, like, not a lot of Mexicans are bald. He's like, Asians either. He's like, cultures that have a lot of beans, rice. He's like, but more so beans. He's like, black beans, avocado. He's like, there's ingredients in them that help with your hair follicles. So, you know, I just thought about overweight white men that eat nothing but hot dogs and are bald as shit. If that's you, please don't take offense.
Hey, pick up a freaking can of baked beans.
Pick up a can of bushes. So is there any truth to what Brad, my barber, is telling me?
Well, there might be. Like, there's a, like, biotin is a form of B vitamin that's helping you with your hair and nails. Hormone that's kind of stimulating that is FST, or follicle stimulating hormone, FSH. Follicle-stimulating hormone, which a lot of people don't know that as we start losing our hair, our baldness on the top of our head, it's going to start increasing our facial hair growth. So that's the effect that happens. Yeah, that's when you see old, like, bald guys that have, like, massive beards.
Yeah,
that's what's happening when guys get older. Is facial hair is going to start increasing substantially, and we start getting bald. Now, there's other thing, like there's finasteride and stuff like that, which is basically Rogaine. Okay. That kind of blocks an hormone that dictates that DHT. So there might be some natural derivatives that kind of, it's obviously not my specialty, so I'm not gonna do quote something that I don't know for sure, but I'm sure that there's some natural ingredients that's gonna increase your FST levels and then blocks the DHT. But there's also a genetic dispositions. Like, based on where you're growing, like if you live close to equator, if you have darker skin color, that's like for me, I'm from Scandinavian Nordic countries. My ability to absorb vitamin D is 10 times higher than your ability to absorb vitamin D. So there are some genetic dispositions based on where your origins are. So it might also be affected to that.
Yeah.
So you have some sort of gene that's not necessarily making you bald.
Interesting. Yeah, Brad said corn and beans, winners. So
Native Americans. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, he said the same shit. He's like, Americans. When do you see bald Native Americans?
Oh, we got hair till we die.
Yeah. He's like, think about it. He's like, Mexicans, Native Americans. He's like, Asians. He's like, Italy. Or he's like, I forgot the word he used, but basically they have the highest, one of the highest bald rates. He's like, they just don't eat a lot of beans. They eat a lot of pasta. They don't eat corn. And I was like, okay, Brad, the barber.
Yes. Brad the barber, yeah. Dropping bombs,
Brad,
dude.
Science. Yeah. Brad science. It's not pro science. It's Brad science.
For sure, dude. That's too funny. So I love the hormone talk because one, I feel like it's not talked about enough. But this is kind of like, I could be downplaying it, but like biohacking, like where you're just basically kind of optimizing what's available in your body with what's available now in the marketplace. So like, you could give your winners, like, what's your favorite biohack or couple biohacks that you use currently in your system?
So I love supplements. I'm a big supplement guy. I love geeking up on science. So I went through the whole spectrum of doing synthetic supplements, peptides, everything else. Like, I've always liked to do my research. Then I've also been the holistic route, meaning nothing artificials, nothing like that. So right now, I'm taking supplements for antioxidants. I'm using a superfood blend. I'm taking that every single morning. I'm using a noni extract. Noni is a nitric oxide enhancer, so it forces your body to create on more nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is called molecule of life. They 98 studies of nitric oxide. They actually won a Nobel Prize.
Wow.
Then I'm doing high quality omegas every night. Like I don't sleep well. Like if I don't take omegas, it's not that they're sedative, but it just puts me in a deeper sleep. I have a blend that I would like to call Happy Juice. Happy Juice is a combination of actually three different products, but I mix them in first thing in the morning. So Happy Juice first is the specific bacteria strain that feeds serotonin and dopamine. Then there's adaptogenic, so basically nootropics, that increases your brain alertness and activity, and then adaptogens. Which means if you heard of maca and ashwagandha and all that, the adaptogens, those are actually great for hormone balancing as well, naturally. They don't lower or increase it. They naturally balance it. Mm. So your body is actually able to adapt to stress. Like there's some plants in the Heine Alps, like nothing else grows. And there's this one flower just blooms. That's most likely because the adaptogens. It allows the plant your ability to adapt to harsh environment. And the Russians, like Russian scientists in the late 60s, when they were studying the cosmonauts and what's the best way to do it, they found adaptogens. So when humans take it, we can adapt to stress more efficiently. So those are the things that I'm doing daily basis. I'm also like to load myself with collagen. Collagen is something that my joints feel great, especially bovine collagen comes from animals. So those are my, like, I like to keep it simple, but I like to use compounds that I've known works for me and also generally works for a lot of the people that I've worked in the past.
What are the main benefits of collagen?
This is interesting. So one of my good friends, she's a PhD. She runs a company called Melt Method. So block for her. So she's one of the number one collagen experts in the world. So I had a lot of conversations with her and her business partners. She was a physical therapist for pro athletes. And then she became a PhD in studying about fascia. Now we have heard of fascia. So this thin membrane, and if you cut a chicken breast and you see this gray little membrane on top of it, we usually remove it. People used to think that that's just like the sac. But as the studies go further, the researchers don't even know, is it an organ? Is it a delivery system? So because they constantly find new feature. Collagen and the fascia is literally covering every inch of your body, every inch of your body. And it transmits information. And if our collagen, if we don't have collagen, we have ability to build our collagen ourselves. But due to indigestion, a lot of digestive issues and everything else, we can't break down that protein in the specific peptides and amino acids and then build it back again to collagen. So we have to start supplementing that as we get older. So once the collagen enters your body, it's going to rebuild the fascia, but it's also going to help your connective tissue. It's going to help your skin, your ligaments. It's type 3 actually builds that gut lining. So there are so many different functions that it helps. So it's one. It's the most abundant protein found in the body. But once again, as we get older, the ability to produce our own collagen is decreasing.
So you've actually finally, like, I've been seeing collagen pop up on supplements a lot more. It's been like way more buzzword than over the last 10 years. So at least,
I think since you're getting older, bro.
Yeah.
They're targeting
my ass.
Boomer.
Yeah. No more just protein ads. Yeah. I get fucking collagen ads now. But that just made that really helps out, because I thought it was just, you know, just the next fad supplement. Yeah. But to actually see that it's got real benefits from a PhD, it's not just marketing ploy. Yeah. Makes a big difference. And I wanted to, you mentioned peptides, and I feel like if you're in the supplement space, especially the young kids with TikTok and shit nowadays, like everyone's talking about, you know, how to just increase your bench, how to get faster, how to get better, nootropics, and peptides have come up. I never understood what it was. To me, I thought it was like a mild form of anabolic. I thought it was like a steroid of some sort.
Yeah.
Can you talk to the winners? Like, what is peptides? If they hear what it is, like, is it something to look into? Is it something to stay avoid?
Yeah, that could be a little slippery slope, because peptides, they're not a lot of places. It's sold overall online in a lot of stores, but it's not regulated. So ultimately, you don't really know what the quality is. So ultimately, you just have to find a good peptide manufacturer. So what peptide is, we know what growth hormone is. Growth hormone is basically a complete peptide. It has 191 amino acids attached to it. Like, it's perfect. Anything below that, less amino acids, it's basically called peptides.
Okay.
So it's a strain. So as we eat protein, your body chops them into amino acids. And then based on what the needs are, our body builds certain peptides. Now, peptides are basically triggering different body functions. It might trigger a healing process. It might trigger collagen synthesis, protein synthesis. And that's where these certain peptides comes in, that they can be anabolic peptides. They might be healing peptides. They might be endurance-enhancing peptides. But because the peptide structure can't be very... I don't want to say weak, but very fragile. If the manufacturing process is not done right, you're going to break down the peptides, and ultimately you're just going to put yourself body in. And usually they need to be injectable. But because it's injectable, now they are being sold as for research purposes. So they're not being sold for human consumption. They're being sold for research purposes. So it's a little bit of gray area over there, but you can go into clinics, you can go to hormone clinics, and they might give you peptides. Like, one of the most healing and anti-inflammatories are TB500 and BBC157. Those are something that pro athletes are using constantly to recover from injuries. So tissue repair. So the peptides can be very, very beneficial, but you just can't go and buy some cheapest possible peptide and then just expect that, okay, I'm going to feel 10 times better now. So they're not miracle drugs. They can be anabolic, but they're not steroids.
So basically you should get your gut health in order first. Get all the basics done and correct first. This is more for optimization at maybe like a higher level.
I love that you make that point, because a lot of people, like, we live in a society which is the microwave society. We want to, like, give me the results right now. I don't want to do the work. I just want to have the magic pill. So you can, there is something that you can consider like a magic pill, but it's not going to be that magical. And if your foundation is just crappy, if you eat like shit, you drink alcohol, you go partying, you barely sleep, and you're pounding down sugary monsters all day long, and then you take peptide and expect that I'm gonna grow 20 pounds of muscle and life is gonna be beautiful. Like, that's just not the way it works. So build the foundation and basically establish yourself a new baseline, and then you can start looking at these kind of additional enhancements. My guess is a lot of times you don't even need them anymore.
That's what I'm picking up. Like, what I'm picking up is that if you actually took the time to see what you're, you know, sensitive to food wise, where your hormones are at a basis right now, and just get yourself back to balanced, probably most of the things that are this big veil of, you know, depression or anxiety probably gets lifted from what I'm picking up.
Yeah, 100%. It's... What do you think? There's some Mediterranean people that literally lives 100 years old, and they just eat healthy, clean food. They stay active. They're not athletes, but they stay active. But then we live in this Western modern day diet culture where we eat burgers and fast food and processed food all the time. So simple things, like I said, just start removing those inflammatory foods. And start making sure that you're not overfed but malnourished, because that's where the general population is. You're overeating calories, but you're deprived from nutrients. Like, that's one thing which is like a killer in this country. Like, what do you think that there's? You can't even throw a rock here in Vegas without hitting at least two cancer clinics. Like, what are, like, for medical industry or pharmaceutical industry is like leaps and bounds come through in the past 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years. But we feel like people are more sick than they ever been before. Because we're just trying to take these, we're completely giving away the control of our own life. We give it to the government. We're giving the doctors, pharmaceutical companies. We're giving away all responsibility without needing to do any or wanting to do any kind of like back to basics. And then someone comes to you and they want to offer you like some sort of help. Like, there's times when I go talk about this, hey, remove this inflammatory foods and maybe if you don't want to eat 5-6 servings of vegetables a day, maybe you should take something like this product. Oh, you just want to sell me a product. I'm just like, dude, I want you to eat 4 or 5 servings of vegetables a day, but I know it's not going to happen. So I'm wanting to give you the next option over here. So we become so naive to these things, and everything's like, oh, this is just this mumbo jumbo new age weirdo bullshit when you start talking about food and nutrients and everything else. But yet we go to a doctor and whatever doctor said, we'll do it. And you know what's the third most common cause of death?
Heart disease?
Medical practice.
Like malpractice?
Malpractice. There's heart attacks, cancer, the number 1 and 2. And number 3 is malpractice and all kind of like overdosing of prescription medication and all that, like not even using recreational drugs or misusing drugs.
Just wrong dosage.
Drug interactions.
Yeah, so Winters, he's not talking about a boob job gone wrong or you want your wiener bigger or your calves bigger, right? Like
this is legit. Just
yeah.
Like trying to help. Misdiagnosis. Yeah. And then, like, I literally just today read a story. One of my friends is covering from a cancer and They misdiagnosed him as second liver cancer. Put him on a medication. So they're like, that's the part. Like, there's so much we can do for ourselves that we can take responsibility of our health by talking to an expert, doing some own research, trying new stuff. And if things don't work, then maybe visit that medical professional if that's still needed.
Bro, you know, you just told me something and it just resonated with my grandpa that I just brought up that's in great health at 95. He always talks shit about doctors because he hates going to the doctors. He's like, you know why I don't like going to the doctors? He's like, practice. They're just there to practice on you. Oh, this doesn't work. Let's try this. Practice. I don't want them to practice on me.
I love that. It's
practice.
Okay, Allen Iverson.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally how he started his conversation off with me. Practice.
Yeah. I have crazy respect to doctors. Yeah. Like, I have my friends as doctors. Yeah. But even they say, like, by the time they get out of the medical school, 40% of the information that they learned is already outdated.
Yeah.
And then when you start looking at all the other things going on, it's just crazy. Like, we need doctors. We absolutely need doctors. We need nurses. We need EMTs. We need all these professionals. Mm-hmm. But we just can't be so
reliant.
Yeah. And reckless that we just can completely give away our own control to our health. Yeah. And just pass it on to some government regulations in doctors' hands.
Here's the vaccine.
Yeah.
Oh man, that could be a whole another podcast episode. Man, this was a really good show. I mean, Winners, I think, you know, I've taken a lot of mental notes, and I think you guys easily could just you know, rewatch this episode a couple times. I mean, the part I'm gonna listen to the episode again when you were given the game, like all the supplements that you were taking. I'm not gonna lie, half the shit you said, I was like, what the fuck did he just say? But you know what you're talking about. Obviously, I've seen you in the game for quite some time, and you know, you walk the walk, so I respect that about you. Talk to the Winners about Elevated Society and the business that you got going on there. Who are you helping? What are you helping them with?
So Elevated Society is something that we just actually kickstarted with my wife. So we're going to be doing our own podcast. We're going to be doing a lot of different stuff. So eventually the society is going to be about elevating yourself in every level, not just with your health, but just giving power back to increase your finances. We have a lot of resources on financial professionals just like yourself, but we want to build a community where people can just lift themselves up and reinvent themselves. So whether you want to become the best possible version of yourself physically, mentally, financially, and a lot of people, they just also need a community. So it's just about bettering yourself in every possible way, and kind of supporting each other and cheering each other.
I love it, dude. It sounds like there's just a lot of different resources that they can get in one spot. So is this something that you've launched already? You're about to launch it?
No, we're about to launch. We've done a few podcasts that we're filming right now. And we're going to be releasing them in the next month, maybe 2-3 weeks, no later than a month from now. And they're going to be us talking about this same exact topic that I'm going to be talking about. My wife is super amazing and knowledgeable in when it comes to the women's side of it. She coaches a lot of pro athletes. She coaches a lot of women to get to the stage. She coaches them out of that stage. And she also just a badass businesswoman as well. So we have us talking about a lot of these topics. And then we're obviously going to build some of our mentors. Anything from guys that are worth $1 billion to guys who've been coaching hundreds and hundreds of people to become millionaires. So we're just going to be, our main goal is just to bring value for people who want to lift themselves up and reinvent.
Love it. We'll drop all the links in the show notes, guys. Go give Sammy Esklin a follow over at Facebook and LinkedIn. You can just look him up. I don't think there's going to be any man sexier than him when they look, when they look him
You'll
up.
You'll know.
On, yeah, at Facebook and LinkedIn. And you guys can just look him up individually on Facebook and LinkedIn and then Instagram. He's at Elevated_Society. The A in Elevated is a actual number 8. But again, we'll put all those information in the show notes. So I recommend, guys, go give him a follow. So in that way, as he's opening up his community and updating you guys can be one of the first ones to know. Because, I mean, shoot, you gonna let me know when that thing opens up. That way I can, I want to be like you when I'm in my 40s, bro. I'm 33. I'll be 34 on Saturday. So, yeah, you know, definitely just want to make sure that I'm in a good spot in my 40s. So definitely need to get on that Sammy regimen.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Man, well, it was a pleasure having you. And winners, peace.